Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana Ashraf Dokrat, how are you keeping this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, very well, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Well, there are three books that we are reviewing this morning. Let's start off with the first one. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the story of the slanderer.
Yes, Mawlana, this is a shorter book of about 40 pages or so. And we are thankful to our Hassan Bhai from Johannesburg. He has passed this book on to us. And should readers have any books that would like to be reviewed or to bring to the attention of the wider readership, please let us have these. This book titled Aisha and the Story of the Slanderer by Maulana Afzal Ismail is about the famous incident that we know as the story of Ifk. And the author tells us that the lessons from the seerah serve as an inspiration for Muslims. The hypocrites of Medina had caused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam untold problems, and one of these very distressful and painful incidences in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was when they had accused his most beloved wife and his most pure wife Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha of committing adultery. These hypocrites tried to, through this, disgrace Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife Aisha and bring difficulty to not only Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam but also his household and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This story of Ifk has important lessons for us and is important for us to study for many reasons. We can read into it the teachings of hijab, of slander, of backbiting, of chastity, of social etiquette, and also respect. So it has all this to offer. The story also has the elements of every good story, anger, anguish, sadness, sympathy, joy, happiness. And this story is as relevant for us today as it was when it first took place, because it gives us very, very important rules that govern and that should govern our social interaction. The author presents the story by firstly narrating the story, which is, he says, found in most of the authentic books of hadith. And he then, through a through the use of extensive footnotes, makes some observations about the story. He then moves on to a section where he looks at general lessons that can be obtained from the story, and he's able to identify 22 such lessons that we need to take from the story. The next section is devoted to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and her virtues and her unique qualities. Firstly, about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about her, and then about what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about her virtues, and then also about the virtues that have been listed by the scholars of the Ummah and some other general virtues of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and her. The book then moves to discuss two groups who have used this incident to slight the Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Orientalists and the Shias. We know that both these groups have taken advantage of this incident and have used it for their own nefarious means. The book then has a conclusion in which the author tells us why this book this book is important and why this story of Ifk is really something that we should take heed of, especially in our own times where people have drifted so far from the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and have become in a sense more materialistic, and we forget the through the influence of the civilization that we are living in, we forget the types of important teachings that the Quran and the hadith has have to offer. So all in all, Maulana, it's an easy read. It's 40 pages, yet I think it deals with a very important subject, and it is an original writing. The author, it's not a translation. The author has produced this book himself. Maulana, like with all his other publications, has done a very good job in this publication also. The title again, Aisha and the Story of the Slanderer by Maulana Afzal Ismail. The book is available through a distributor that is usually, you know, in many of the towns have distributors for his books. they go as Muslims at work publications. And perhaps we need to know about a distributor in your area. You can contact Muslims at Work Publications directly on 073-183-0721. That's 073-183-0721. And the previous book that we had reviewed, Molana, surprisingly, a number of our callers, that was a book on the tafsir, the short tafsir of the last 20 surahs of the Quran al-Karim. That work had received quite a number of calls to the radio station, and people were interested in that book. So I hope that our learners take up this book as well, Molana.
MashaAllah. Let's take a look at the second book, Molana, Muslims of the Northern Cape.
Yes, Molana, this is actually not a book, but Molana, Muhammad Jina every year comes out with a report from his institution. We know he runs a very successful institution there called Miftahuddin Islamic Institute in the Cape. And what Molana has done is that in his annual reports that he produces for the institute, Molana has very carefully recorded some of the history of the area and some of the, you know, the biographies of people, important people in his community, which I think is a very, very good idea. In an earlier issue, earlier report, Molana had looked at the history of the Muslims in that area, the history of Muslims in Kimberley, and I found it very fascinating reading. Molana had passed on these reports to us, and I found it very fascinating reading to look at the history of the early masajid in the area. There were masjids, the first masjid there was in 1885, and these there are newspaper cuttings then and clippings that are contained in this report of the sad tale of how then in 1958 the three masajid that were there were actually then made shaheed. They were destroyed by the apartheid government and by the mining groups that were there. Molana in the latest the report also has some interesting biographies of important people. There's a biography of Dr. Norman Latif of Kimberley, who passed away recently, and Molana Ibrahim Miasab of Waterfall Islamic Institute, his obituary. There are also obituaries of two remarkable women. There's a story there about a lady by the name of Rabia Jina, who was known as Mama Jina in the area. And one is surprised to listen to hear about the sacrifices and for the sake of deen that she made, and how she assisted in bringing the Huffaz to the area, and the service, the general service of deen that she was actually able to do just from the confines of her house, Molana. There's also the story of another lady, Rahmat Dawood Hospital, and one is fascinated to read about these pious ladies and their contribution and how they had been, you know, such devoted worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Molana has documented this, which I think is a very, very important thing, you know, to really keep community history alive and to really look at how the past, Molana, is always important for the present, and people can take lesson from this, and I hope that this continues in the future report that we get from the Miftahuddin Islamic Institute of Molana Muhammad Jina Sahib.
Inshallah. And then something for the kiddies also, Molana.
Yes, Molana, there's a book that was launched just this weekend. It is a story for the children called Jasmine in the Wind. This Jasmine in the Wind is a story of the challenges, trials, and unending optimism and strength of a young Syrian girl, a young Syrian refugee, and this novel follows a young girl named Afra and a harrowing journey to safety and freedom. While she learns to love her new home, a part of her heart will always be buried in the roots of the jasmine bush that grew outside her parents' window in Syria. So this book was launched this weekend and is available at some bookstores. It is a book written by Aisha Desai, and those who are looking for something for their kids to read should pick this up. Unfortunately, I must say, Molana, the book is quite pricey. I was disappointed to see that this rather short book costs 110 rand. But if anybody is interested, it is out there. and perhaps they can consider getting this for their children or getting it for their school library and maybe them making it available to a number of students in their schools.
What are the number once again for Muslims at Work?
Muslims at Work number, Molana, is, a moment please, Molana, it's 073-183-0721. Mm-hmm. It's Muslims at Work. You can contact them there.
JazakAllah khairan, Molana, for your time. Much appreciated.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International. Unfortunately, Mufti Zubair Bayat not around this morning once again. In his absence, we'll continue with the program. And today I want to talk to you about an important aspect, and that is taking into account one's psychological condition when interacting with people. You come across different people during the course of the day. Some are happy, some are sad, some are confused, some are going through serious challenges in their life, and you happen to interact with them. What's the kind of approach you need to adopt, and how do you tackle the situation? How do you approach the situation altogether? And this is important to keep in mind, as they say, Moka Shanas and Mardum Shanas, as they say in the Farsi language, that identify the people you are speaking to and identify the situation they are in. And appropriately, you need to choose your topic and your discussions. It's very important. And we must understand, sometimes people are not in the right frame of mind, and our inappropriate comment or our inappropriate joke can just make things more worse. So we need to, inshallah, keep these factors in mind. It is part and parcel of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, when you are going to visit a sick person, an ill person, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that give the person hope, give the person courage, and tell him that you are doing so well, mashallah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that by you saying these things, you're not going to increase the lifespan. You're not going to increase his lifespan. If Allah has written for him to pass on in that illness of his, he will pass on. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say that by you making such encouraging remarks, you are going to make his day, and you are going to make him feel good about himself, that inshallah there's hope for me and I will recover. As opposed to a person who goes out there and say, you know what, hey, last time I visited somebody with this sickness, in 2 months he passed away, there was no chances of survival for him. So some people really struggle with choosing the appropriate topics when they're going to visit people. It's you must take into account people's moods, people's temperaments, people's psyche when you are talking to them. This is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that the certain Sahabi Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very fond of his bird. So the Prophet of Allah, when he would interact with this youngster, he would speak to him about birds, because that's what he would like, and that's how the Prophet of Allah interacted with his people. Here also, people, we must understand, when you are going to speak to certain people, sometimes they're not in the right frame of mind. You need to first gauge what's the psyche at the moment, what's the mood like, test the waters first, and then you need to soften up a little bit. For example, let's say you're going to visit a lady who has lost her husband. Husband just passed away, she's bereaving, and she's in that iddah period of hers, and you go and you're sitting there with her. Hey, yeah, you know, mashallah, last night we went out with my husband, we had such a nice time, mashallah, we were hands in hands, and you know, we were walking in the mall, mashallah, and we had a nice a drink, and we were also having a nice time, we had for a nice romantic walk. Now imagine that kind of discussion coming to the fore, and you as a lady that has just lost a partner, how would you respond to such a situation? How would you feel if somebody has to talk to you in such a manner? Definitely you'll feel empty, number one. Number two, you feel jealous also. And it's a natural feeling because now your partner is no longer there and you are now relating to those times when you used to go out with your partner and when you used to have those romantic moments together with your partner. But now that's not the reality because he's no longer in the world. So your comments at such a time can be very unsavory, and it's in bad taste. It is in bad taste. You need to keep that in mind. And some people don't have these common factors in mind. They don't have these common senses when they are speaking with people. Let's say a person is going through a divorce, very difficult period, and you're putting up lovey-dovey status, especially in a family setup. Let's say you are in a family group, and somebody in the family is going through a divorce. Now, for you to put up rosy messages and lovey-dovey messages is inappropriate and it's insensitive to the other person's feeling. Because their marriage is on the verge of breaking up. They're on the verge of splitting and the marriage is on the rocks. Now, for you to put up rosy, lovey-dovey messages on the family group is very insensitive and you're not taking into account other people's psyche at the moment. Then people don't feel comfortable. So when we are putting ourselves up also on social media, we must be very careful how we portray the message. It must not offend people, especially if you know that this person is following you or he is part of the group and he is following the discussion, then appropriate messages should be put up. You must choose the right flavor, you must choose the right time to discuss these issues, because if you don't, then you can upset the moods of people. So these are some common factors we need to keep in mind. Moka Shanas, Mardum Shanas, choosing the appropriate topic, the appropriate time, and looking at the psyche of people. You're going to a janaza, and you can't be speaking of nikah there. An-nikahu min sunnati, that's inappropriate. Or you are going to a social function where people are happy, people are celebrating, people are joyous, and you go there and say, you know what, this world is very temporary. Happiness is also temporary. You're going to die, and when you leave this world, nothing will, all this what you are enjoying now is not going to help you. That's been very, very selfish and very insensitive towards people's sentiments and feelings. So we must take into account the psyche of people. If somebody has failed an exam, if somebody did not do well, you don't rub it in. Yeah, I told you must study. You just never listen. You just never paid attention to what I was saying. So when you don't take into account the psychological condition of people, you end up hurting them very badly, and that's not good. For a believer, that is very, very inappropriate. So we must take into account the psychological condition of people. Sometimes people are happy, sometimes people are sad, sometimes people are going through challenges in their life, sometimes it's health complications. All these you must take into account when you are interacting with people. If you don't, you end up hurting a lot of people. And your words carry a lot of weight. You must understand that. Your words carry a lot of weight in the sight of people. And very selfish are those people who don't choose their words wisely. If you say the right thing at the right time, you could win that person over. And if you choose the wrong discussion, and if you choose the wrong topic, then you could end up hurting people. For example, you are sitting in a group of friends and you decide to make a joke, but at the expense of another person. How will that person receive that joke? Hey, you know when you were small, you used to knock from your father's wallet. Yeah, how was it nice? Now, the person is sitting as a CEO of the company or sitting as a responsible person today. And for a person to crack a joke like this is in bad state, a bad taste. So we must keep in mind these important aspects. It's now 9:33. You are listening to Radio Islam International. It is the Monday morning mix on Radio Islam International, and we are busy discussing taking the psychological condition of people into account when interacting with them. If you happen to be at a happy occasion, then to show happiness is also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like for example, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to know that a certain person has performed nikah, has made nikah, then the Prophet of Allah would shower his du'as upon the person. So this shows that the Prophet of Allah is taking into account the psychological condition of the person, and he's also expressing his happiness. This is quite strange that sometimes you end up going to a person and you know it's a happy occasion, but some people for some reason just cannot express their joy and their happiness. Have you come across people like these? Have you interacted with such people? By the way, the lines are open, 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio line is 072-786-1548. Your thoughts also welcome on the topic. You are in a social function, but you find it that some people are unable to express joy. Have you met such people in life? They're like very quiet. I wouldn't say they're introverts, because they are socializing with people, they are talking, but they are unable to express the joy. So perhaps we need to help them out. And we need to tell them to express the joy at the time of joy is important. And how you do that is through your speech and your action. You don't go there, I'm happy you pass. I'm happy you're getting married. I mean, there's no correlation between the speech and the action. Let's try another take. Wow, mashallah, I'm so happy you passed. Mashallah, I'm so excited that you are doing this. And I'm so happy that you are actually doing better in this regard. That is showing jubilation. That is manifesting your happiness for that person and for the achievement. And to show happiness doesn't cost you anything. To be courteous at that moment doesn't cost you anything. Some people find it difficult to show that happiness. Am I just exaggerating, or have you met such people in life? I've personally met people like these, that's why I'm speaking about this on air. Perhaps you can tell me and talk to me about that, inshallah. 488-55 or 072-786-1548. So number one, you need to express it in words. Number two, your actions must correlate with your speech and with your words. You can't say, I'm happy. I'm so happy. No, you must show it in your words and you must show it in your demeanor, the way you come across. Number three, let the person own the limelight. It's not always about us. If somebody else is happy and their psychological condition at that moment is of jubilation and excitement, then you don't be selfish and steal that person's limelight and try to take the attention away from that person, or you make disparaging remarks. That's not becoming of a believer. Rather, you must take the condition into account and be happy also. Sometimes you are unable to express the joy because of your own shortfalls in life. So for example, a girl in the family is getting married. It's a happy occasion, but because your daughter's marriage did not work out, or because your daughter's proposal was turned down, now you don't want to be, and that was like few years ago, and now you are supposed to be in a happy occasion, but you are not happy, you are frowning, you're not talking, you're not socializing. You dampen the spirit of the occasion. Now people find it difficult. Now imagine that bride who's getting married, how would she feel? Like, oh no, it's wrong for me to smile. It's wrong for me to have some joy here. I can't be happy, I can't smile, I can't joke, I can't be excited. You know, because my cousin's proposal got turned out 4 years ago. That's really inappropriate. And I think people sometimes need to put that also behind them. Here's a message coming through. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Marana, I have people who are never happy for me. My sister-in-law and so many others are so weird about my happiness and the spouse I am going to get, where we go on holidays, and it goes on. I love wishing others well. I have people who just can't see me happy. Yeah, so unfortunately, that's another sad reality that we face in our lives, that people don't take into account the psychological condition and also the state in which people are found, and they do their own thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. Here's another message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, I've experienced this with my family who are at the nikah of our children, and silly things to say like, you didn't make proper arrangements, it's taking too long, we're tired. It's a very good message that is brought up here by Sister Zora. Very important, because you are attending the walima, or you are attending a ceremonial function of the family, and at that time the demand of the time is to be happy, to express joy. Leave, if some things are not going the way you want them to go, leave it aside. It's not a matter of making a big issue out of that. Some people are not happy because you did not take their suggestions for the invitation card. Some people are not happy because you didn't take their suggestion for the cook they suggested. Some people are not happy because they took a different draping. Oh my word. The things that people fight for is really, really silly nowadays. We need to be more broad-minded in life. And we must be happy for people. Be happy for them. Show our happiness when things are going good for other people. Because when you show your happiness, you are adding to the joy of others. MashaAllah. And that's what believers do. Al-mu'minu ma'lafun. Wala khayra fi man la ya'laf wala yu'laf. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer is a vessel and a container of love. And there's no good. There's no good in that person who does not love anyone, and nor does anyone love him. What a wretched, wicked, and unwanted person he is. He does not love anyone, and nor does anyone love him. So it's from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show happiness at an occasion of happiness, and to show sadness at the time of sadness. Now let's move on to another angle. I've explained how to show joy at a time of happiness. Now I need to explain how to express your sentiments and your sadness at a time of sadness, and a time of when things are not so good in somebody's life. Let's say somebody has lost a partner, somebody has lost a mother, somebody has lost a father, somebody has lost somebody very close to them, and we are going to visit this person. Now, you might not be very closely connected to this person. He might be a neighbor of yours. Yes, he might be a neighbor. So you will go to convey your condolences and to show that you care, but you're not so attached to the person because he's not your family at the end of the day. So at a time like that, many people end up sitting on their phones, or they end up socializing with other people around them, and they're having a lighter moment, they're smiling, they're laughing, they're joking. Now that is highly insensitive and highly inappropriate to the person who's bereaving there inside. This person has not taken into account the psychological condition of that person whom he is visiting, and he has been highly insensitive. Many times we are left confused. Are we attending a janaza, or are we attending a marriage function? Really, you can't make out the difference nowadays, because the psyche of people is such that even when they are at the janaza home, they're happy, and when they are at a wedding function, is a similar mood. So it's kind of like difficult to differentiate between the two functions because of people not being sensitive to others' feelings. So like I said, in the case of a neighbor, you might not be able to show that that grief and that remorse, or in that heartfelt condolences, because at the end of the day, that's not your family member. So in a situation like this, you first greet the person. If you don't have anything to say, it's fine, but just give that person a tight hug and say, inshallah, everything will be fine. That's enough. That's more than enough for you to say, and that will be consoling, good consolement for that person, and you will inshallah be in the good books. So you give a person a nice hug, Obviously, it has to be halal and permitted for you to hug that person. In this case, it's a male hugging a male and a female hugging a female. We must clarify and qualify that. So, you say, inshallah, things will be better. That's all. That's all. And then you go sit down on the side without taking out your phone and without getting into chit-chat. I usually advise that you take along some reading material from home already. So when you get there, you don't have to look around and worry about getting something to read. You already have your Yasin booklet, if it's a Yasin booklet or something, and you continue reading. This is now being sensitive to the condition, the time, and the scenario in which people are going through. Now, imagine if you are the person who has lost a close one, and you're sitting in the house, and few meters, not even outside of the house, few meters away from you, people are laughing, checking Instagram feed, Facebook feed, forwarding PCs. How would that person feel? Just, why did you even come here? Why did you even come here? Why did you come to this house? Maybe you should have just sat at home, and maybe you should have just done something else. Why are you hurting me more? So that hurts a person even more. You're not taking into account the psychological condition of the person. So we must, inshallah, take that also into account. We've discussed happiness. We've also discussed sadness. If you can't, then you must excuse yourself. That's the best thing to do. You greet the person, you convey your condolences, and you must excuse yourself. And then maybe just join again, find out what time is the janazah, what time is the pickup, and which qabristan, inshallah. You find out those details and you leave the house. Some people, they think that to show solidarity, they stick around by the house. But they're not doing what they are supposed to be doing. They are being highly insensitive to the feelings of the people, and some people really feel hurt at that occasion. We must, inshallah, keep that in mind. The SMS line 48855, that's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 072-786-1548, that's 072-786-1548. We go for a quick nasheed break. When we return, inshallah, we'll wrap up our discussion. You are listening to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International. Once there was a wedding procession passing by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet of Allah asked Hazrat Aisha, why is this wedding so dull? Why is it so dull? Tell them they can use the tuff and they can show some spirit there. So what was the Prophet of Allah teaching the Ummah at that time? That look, it's a happy occasion. Don't make it look like a mayat house, people. Show some happiness on that occasion. And if you are going to a wedding house, put your troubles behind. It's not your occasion to be sad. It's your occasion to be happy with the person that you are going to meet. So put your petty issues. Couples must learn this. Husband and wife must learn this. If you're going to your husband's family, and it's a happy occasion, and I know you're not happy with your husband, so that doesn't mean you must not smile when you get there. Show some spirit, lady. And likewise, my brother, when you go into your mother-in-law's house, or you go into your sister-in-law's house for supper or whatever it is, show some spirit. Both sides need to play their role. We must learn to put our petty issues aside and even our challenges and troubles aside when we go into social functions, because we are not taking into account the psychological conditions of people and it becomes very, very difficult. MashaAllah. A lot of messages coming through. Assalamu alaikum, I've been to several mayats and the entrance to the house is full of men, even though the burial board clearly highlights ladies' entrance. The men stand outside and don't even read most of the time. Okay. Another one says, Assalamu alaikum, sometimes there was a mayat in the family and the other people cook for the family, but then invite all their family to come and basically have a party. Yeah, this is very insensitive. That's what I'm saying. You must take into account the psychological condition of people when you are interacting with them. Is it a happy occasion? Is it a sad occasion? What is required? Before you go to any house or any function, you must ask yourself inside, where am I going? What is the occasion? What is required of me? So that you can show that happiness. You know, people, when the event and the function is over, then they're talking, hey, you saw Rabia there. Yeah, man, I don't know, she was lost in her own world. She wasn't talking to anyone. She was so quiet. I wonder what happened, eh? I wonder what happened. Everybody was eating and was having a nice, light moment. But Rabia wasn't in the moment. I don't know what happened. So people do take note of that. And unfortunately, some people just don't give. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to such issues. The next one reads, that's so true, Molana. It's best to be happy in function weddings. Today's gatherings become tense because of petty issues. Janazas have become socializing. It's best to keep yourself busy in your ibadah and leave after leaving the mayat house to do your other daily chores. Yeah, that's good also. But the most important message that we are conveying this morning is that take into account the psyche of people. And now you as a mother-in-law, you're going to your daughter-in-law's house. She's preparing for you a nice meal. She doesn't cook as good as you cook. There's a huge difference between the cooking there. So you are going there, you know, you might not be happy to eat her food, but now you must show your sentiments and express your love, even if you're not happy. You must say, MashaAllah, lovely. I really like the way you cooked. Instead of just sitting there, some people are so deliberate, they can eat the whole teg, not the whole pot, the whole teg, and they won't say a word. And then, Ya Allah, some people find it difficult to express joy. So when the mother-in-law leaves, then the daughter, you know, the daughter-in-law asks, is everything okay with your mother? And he's like, yeah, why? She never commented at all. She never commented at all on the dish I made. It took me so long. I spent so much of time. I made sure the children were sleeping and I was cooking, etc., etc. So sometimes people are selfish. We must show happiness when people are happy. When you go into your daughter-in-law's house, she might raise the kids differently to the way you raise them. That's fine, as long as it's not in contradiction to the Sharia. Don't enter the house and start dishing out commands and start making changes and you must do like this and you must do like that. That's been insensitive to the psyche of the daughter-in-law. And likewise the other way around also. Just now you shoot me on air. So we must take all these factors into account. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and bless us all with foresight. Until we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.